Welcome to Valuation Blueprint, a podcast dedicated to practical conversations about what really drives business value. When a seller tells you a business generates $500,000 in cash flow, what if I told you that number depends entirely on whether the addbacks are real? Most buyers, lenders, and advisors focus on the final cash flow number, but the better question is, how much of that cash flow can actually be proven? And that's what we're going to be discussing today. Welcome to the Valuation Blueprint. My name is Darren Mize. I'm your host, and I'm with GCF Valuation. And this show is for M&A advisors, SBA lenders, business owners, buyers, and sellers who want clarity around how value actually works in the real world. Today's topic is addbacks. It's an important one. Value revolves around addbacks. Everybody we work with knows what an addback is. But what we are going to be discussing today is, what are they? Why they matter? And why simply identifying an addback isn't enough? Because evaluation isn't about what can be claimed. It's about what can be supported. At its simplest level, an addback is an expense recorded on the financial statements that may not continue after a change of ownership. Common examples include personal vehicles, excess owner compensation, personal travel, one-time expenses, legal, networking, digital media, family payroll, non-recurring repairs. Addbacks aren't inherently bad. They're a normal part of owning a small business. Just about every small business owner out there runs as many personal expenses through their business as possible because they want to reduce tax burden. In fact, many of those are completely appropriate. The problem occurs when people assume every addback automatically becomes cash flow. It just doesn't. And that's where tracing those addbacks come into place. And what I mean by tracing is isolation. Anyone can create an addback schedule. The real question is whether the adjustment can be isolated on the source financial statements, meaning where can you document that expense? Typically, that comes from the source financial statements, but where exactly can you document it from? There are only a few options: payroll records, general ledger statements, and bank statements. Monthly invoices, if they are available for certain expenses that happen on a monthly basis. Obviously, if you can find at least one or two of those and they're standard, meaning the same dollar amount each month, that should work. Anything that you can charge is being paid, obviously, because an addback isn't something you explain. It's something you have to prove. Here's a common example. Let's say the owner of a business has included a $60,000 family payroll addback. At first glance, pretty straightforward. Lots of business owners run family payroll through the business, even for those family members who aren't even working there. The seller tells you their spouse is on payroll and that the buyer will not need that position after closing, so it won't survive the sale. But at that point, you gotta have to start asking some questions. First, you have to identify the expense initially, right? This is payroll. So payroll starts with a W-2. If you don't have a W-2 statement for the family member, then you can't add that back at all. But once you get the W-2, then you start asking a few more questions. What does that individual do? Is there any responsibility at all on a day-to-day basis? Any responsibility at all, whether it's 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day, 5 hours a day, 3 hours a week, whatever. Are they processing payroll? Are they managing accounts receivable? Do they take customer service calls? Or even watching the front desk a few hours after school? So to add 100% of that expense back to cash flow, all of these duties have to be absorbed by the existing staff. Otherwise, somebody has to be paid to perform them, which means some or all of that salary expense doesn't go away. So you have to normalize the financial statement to represent every single position that operates within the organization, whether it's little or a lot. And for many companies, it could be a handful of family members working 1 or 2 hours a day. Doesn't seem like a big deal, but that's a responsibility that has to be covered. If a buyer has to cover that responsibility, you can only do that in two ways. Either it has to be absorbed internally by existing staff, or you have to hire somebody to run those responsibilities for you. Either way, that's what it means, right? That's what we're trying to do. So That's why isolating add backs really matters. You have to be able to isolate them to make sure that you can add them back. In this case, the question isn't whether the expense belongs to a family member. You've got a W-2. The question is whether the business still functions after that expense is removed. That's valuation thinking. That's lender thinking. And that's the way buyers think as well. Now, let's move into the part of the show we call the frame of reference. It's one of my favorite parts. We do it during every show. And this is where we take what we've just discussed and look at it through the lens of value, risk, and market behavior. Like I always try to do, illustrate these with some common denominators. It's usually a company or two. In this case, we're going to look at two companies. Company A generates $500,000 a year in cash flow. Earnings are clean. That means there are very few adjustments to the income statement. Typically, you'll find those on the front page of the tax return. That's owner's W-2 compensation. That's interest, depreciation, amortization, which is in the back schedule, and then profit. That's it. That's a clean financial statement right there. Company B also generates $500,000 in cash flow. However, it starts with $350,000 worth of reported earnings and has $150,000 of add-backs to get to the $500,000. On paper, identical. Same company, same cash flow, same market, same operation, same everything. Same value, right? Not necessarily. Which company would you rather buy? Now, most experienced buyers are going to choose company A almost immediately. Why? Not because the cash flow is higher, it's the same, right? It's because the risk is lower. There's a good question. The risk is lower, same cash flow, but why is the risk lower? Here's why. Every add back introduces another assumption, which is what? That assumption is, if I'm the buyer, I have to wait for a financial reporting cycle to visually verify that that expense has been removed from the income statement, which means that typically I've got to go at least 1, 2, 3 quarters, or even a whole year before I can actually realize that cash flow on paper. That's risk. It means another item has to be isolated by somebody, right? Another item have due diligence by the buyer. Another opportunity for a potential disagreement or at least a discussion on why or why it shouldn't exist. Every add back requires time to support. And all of that is another form of financial risk. Add backs essentially add risk to your financial statement. And what we know is what? Risk is what drives value. So it may not seem like a lot, but it is. So from a buyer's perspective, with company A, there are fewer questions to answer. I've got a tax return that shows me specific adjustments that have been reported to the federal government, and that's all I need to see at that point, right? So company A obviously is better. Less documentation to review, fewer assumptions to verify, less uncertainty. But with company B, every adjustment has to be tested. You've got to wait. Every adjustment has to be supported. Every adjustment has the potential to change from 1 month to the next. You got to wait to see them occur, and then you got to wait to see them remove from the income statement. And if one or more of those add backs doesn't hold up, guess what? Your cash flow changes. You know, cash flow changes, your value changes as well. That's why sophisticated buyers, lenders, and valuation professionals generally prefer cleaner earnings. Number one, it's just easier to get through. You don't have to sift through paper and documentation to make sure that each one of those adjustments to the income statement can actually be supported. You got to isolate them. Now, not because add backs are bad. It's just because with fewer assumptions, you have less risk. And with less risk, you can guarantee that you're going to support a stronger value. That's just the way it works. And that's the lesson that we will always try to educate business owners on. Look, if you have time to clean up the income statement, remove those excessive add backs, isolate the ones that are necessary, and pay income tax as you should at the higher rate, in the long run, you've got cleaner earnings. And what does that mean? The cleanest earnings command the strongest value. Add backs aren't bad, they just add risk. And risk drives value. So add backs are a normal part of privately held business transactions. Obviously, most of them are legitimate, most are necessary, But every adjustment must be isolated for support. Value is built on confidence and cash flow. And confidence comes from evidence, not assumptions. In the last episode, we discussed how multiples are largely driven by risk. That's really what a multiple is. It's a measure of risk. Today, we've seen that the quality of cash flow creates risk as well. And that's why add-back tracing matters. Isolating those add-backs are important. This is the Valuation Blueprint. My name is Darren Mize, your host. Thanks for listening. And until next time, let's keep small business moving.
Thanks for joining us on Valuation Blueprint. For more expert analysis on what drives business value, visit gvalue.com.